bring it up and to put salt on the wound?
Will you stop yelling at me?
No!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
No, you're making me nervous, but seriously.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
No, listen. Is there a question? You're making me nervous.
Diagnosis.
Oh, and a foul!
Prognosis.
Well, that's good.
Osmosis.
And they'll reset. Nowitzki again for the lead. Bang!
It's the doctor, T.C. Martin.
And a very good Wednesday to you, middle of the work week, T.C. Martin Show, broadcasting live from the Thomas and Mack Center on the campus of UNLV for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Glad to have you with us. If you're out and about, heading this way, make sure you come on by. We're here till 4 o'clock today. Say hello as we have got first round action at the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Today on the program, Mark Anderson will join us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And look at this. They're all here today. The cowboy guy. The barrel, get some clothes on that man from Wyoming. Goodness gracious, but I love the hat.
Oh, he was at the women's game last night, too. I was down there checking it out.
And please just keep on the barrel.
Yeah. Keep the barrel on, sir. Very nice.
But okay. The cowboy boots are a nice
This is
touch.
A family show, as we know.
Well, it's a good thing it's radio, so we can't visually see. You know what? You should take a picture with that guy for the website, TC. I think that'd be great.
Brad the Believer, our engineer, you're on that, okay? Get that guy back over here, okay? He can't be too far away. He can't get too far wearing that barrel. How does the guy sit down, right?
He doesn't sit down.
Oh, gosh. Don't sit in front of him. And look back.
All right. So joining me now, the voice that you hear right here, the lovely Desiree Reed-Francois, in her, I want to say, eighth month on the job at UNLV. There he is. Please keep the Wyoming guy away from me. We're talking some UNLV stuff right now. But glad to have you on the program. This is the first time I think we've actually got a chance to have you on, so I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I think we want to take a picture with the Wyoming. Here.
Okay.
Here. Cowboy.
This is live radio. This is what we're doing. There we go, cowboy. There we go. What the heck is this? That's all I got to say. What is this? We're doing live radio here, Brad. You know, this is it. You're killing me right now. All right, cowboy. Come back during the break. How's that? Yeah. Love to see you. You look fantastic, by the way. Yeah. The showers are down to the left.
Okay. Do you wear that in Laramie? That's what I really want to know.
All right.
Do you wear that in the snow? You're where
it was chill factor was 5 below 0.
That's awesome.
All right. So for our audience listening in their cars or at home,
I can hear that.
The Wyoming cowboy just came up here, and of course Desiree's interviewing him if he wears this barrel with nothing else on underneath. You're like a true Scotsman, my friend. You know what a true Scotsman wears underneath his kilt, right? Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Hey. I thought you said this is a family show.
It is
Come
a family.
On.
Okay, we got
to
go.
I think Desiree has to recruit him to wear a UNLV barrel. I think that would be that's her her major goal as athletic director at UNLV, to get the barrel guy from Wyoming to wear a UNLV barrel.
Do they have anything like that at Virginia Tech?
You know, this is a new one for me, but, you know, Las Vegas, we're colorful, and we attract colorful people, and I love that our UNLV Rebel fans are taking pictures with the Wyoming Cowboys, so that's good. That's teamwork right there, and sportsmanship, and we're all about the Mountain West Conference.
There you go, and you have it all here at the Mountain West Conference with all the teams here. It's great pageantry and great fun. All right, we're going to talk about UNLV's victory earlier today with you in just a moment, but first, I just want to get to No, how are things going with you the first 8 months on the job?
Oh, it's going very well. Thank you for having me. And I am so glad that I'm here today right after a win, because I'm a little less pleasant when it's not, when the outcome is different. And I'm one of those people that I get really into that game, and I get really nervous. And when I get nervous, my hands start perspiring, and I'm kind of a mess, and I go sit off by myself. But anyway, I'm just really glad to have a win, and it's been phenomenal. I love living in Las Vegas, and my family is happy, and we're making some good incremental changes here at UNLV in the athletic department, and really building the culture, a championship culture, where we really it's based on respect. And, you know, it's a process. But we are really going to work very hard and to make sure that our fans see the difference and see the changes, and we're going to preserve the legacy of the past and that great history that we have, but also look towards the future and the future of UNLV athletics.
Absolutely. Desiree Reed-Francois joined us, athletic director here at UNLV. You came from Virginia Tech, but you've also been at some other great programs at Tennessee and, you know, some major conferences.
Yes, sir.
Just give us some of the differences initially from, like, say, Virginia Tech or even Tennessee compared to UNLV that you've noticed so far.
Well, everybody here in Las Vegas speaks a little similarly to me than they did in Knoxville, Tennessee, so there's that. I don't have to wear orange and white checkerboard, so there's that.
Right.
We've got the coolest colors ever. No, but in all seriousness, there's really good people, and that's where it all starts with, and there's good people in Knoxville. There's great people in Blacksburg, Virginia, and I'm just really proud of the people that I have a chance to work with, and every day I come to work grateful that I have an opportunity to work with student athletes. I have 480 student athletes. We have 242 full-time staff members and 17 programs. And there's a vibrancy, and it's really special about being on a college campus. So in terms of the differences, there's actually more same and similar features that I see. You know, when we were at Cincinnati, and right. and I went with Witt from Cincinnati to mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, both were similar in that we were taking over a program and having the opportunity to come in and build and put in that championship culture. So I'm taking a lot of that same process that we did at Cincinnati and that we did at Virginia Tech and using those same patterns here at UNLV.
One thing, you got a better color scheme here at UNLV than you had at Virginia Tech and even Tennessee, right?
Seriously.
I mean, I could never figure out the Virginia Tech stuff. You know,
yeah,
what is that? It's a burgundy, but it's
Chicago
gold
maroon
and white.
And shit. Orange. And
yeah. Chicago maroon. They call it Chicago maroon in Blacksburg, Virginia. I don't get that.
I know. It's Blacksburg, Virginia.
You know, Scarlet and gray is pretty easy. You know that.
Oh, my gosh. How great is that?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah. My mom, when she came to my press conference, she's like, oh, honey, thank God you have better colors now. So it's really good. And it's just really good people.
When you come into a new school and you look at all of the athletic programs, what are you looking for when you're analyzing the programs? And of course, you have all of these coaches already in existing positions. So what do you do to analyze that when you first come in?
Sure. It all starts and ends with our student athletes. I want to make, these are someone's sons and daughters, and I really want to make sure that we're treating them the way that we expect, that we would want our own sons and daughters to be treated. And what I know is that blue chippers attract blue chippers. Recruiting is my lifeline. And so while Coach Sanchez and Coach Olivier and all my coaches are good recruiters, you know, some of the best recruiters, though, are my student athletes. Because those are the ones that when a prospective student athlete is coming to your campus and he or she is looking at people that he's gonna or she's gonna spend the next 4 years, 5 years of their life with, 2 years of their life with, it's always about the feel. I've done about 480 exit interviews when a student athlete departs the institution throughout the course of my 25 years in college athletics. I have yet to have a prospective student athlete ever tell me, you know what, I chose UNLV, Virginia Tech, Cincinnati, Tennessee because of the fancy building or the uniform. It's always because how I was made to feel. And that's what's really important. And so if you take care of your student athletes, you take care of your staff, you clarify the expectations, you align the resources, and you get a group of people working really hard, you're gonna find some magic. And that's what we're doing. And it's a process. But first I'm gonna look at our student athletes, and then I'm gonna look at the resources that we're giving our coaches and our programs, and make sure the expectations are very clear, and that if we're gonna play a game and we're gonna keep score, we might as well win, right?
We should, exactly,
and,
right.
And our fans and our community, they deserve that. Las Vegas is a dynamic town, but it's a town that's based on winning, and we get it, right? There's an expectation that we're gonna win, but we're not gonna win at all costs. We're gonna win the right way, we're gonna build a foundation, and we're gonna work every day to make folks proud of what we're doing.
I think a lot of fans probably make the assumption, whether it's true, false, indifference, that when a new athletic director comes in, they may want to be able to select their own coaches and try to build something, you know, from the outside. But of course, when you've been at so many different schools, you have built relationships, and you have people that maybe, hey, if I go to this university, maybe I might want to work with this person or whatever. Any truth to that, and any thought process of that as you take over a position that you're looking like, okay, I would love to bring so-and-so here eventually at some point in time?
Sure. I think it's really important when I first take a job to really sit there and listen and watch and assess, and that's what I've been trying to do. I've been very deliberate in meeting with all of our staff members. We had a listening tour where I went and we met, our team and I, we all met with about 14 different constituencies, from students to student athletes to former student athletes to donors, ticket holders, disgruntled ticket holders that didn't renew. And so we listened and we learned, and that's kind of how we're developing our strategic initiatives. But I think it's really important not to come in with so many preconceived notions and a set pattern. Right. You got to come in and figure out, all right, what's special about UNLV, and what's going to fit at UNLV, and how are we going to make incremental change that makes sense, not just change to make change for change's sake. Right. So I always have to listen and learn, and I think that's really important.
You already made some changes, especially with the presentation of the games here.
The
light show, fantastic.
Thank you.
What you guys have done with the floor. I know we've had Marvin on the show all the time.
Yeah.
He loves it. The kids love it. The fans seem to love it as well, too. So very nice touch with that. So is that something that you had in mind, or just people got in your ear about that, or what?
Well, so I'm really, really proud of the light show. And I'm proud of it because it really exemplified teamwork. And that's what I look for. We were able to get, so I saw it, Kentucky and Florida did that, and I thought, you know what, that is so cool. And I wanted to do it at Virginia Tech, candidly, but I couldn't because at Tech, the way that their basketball arena is shaped, that you couldn't suspend it. So we couldn't do it at Tech, but I thought, man, Thomas and Matt, certainly we must be able to do it there. And so we got some community partners all together, and we got it all donated. And then there was a small amount that we had to pay, and then we went to the Running Rebel Club and we're like, hey, will you help us out? And so we got that piece donated too. So really it's a testament to teamwork and a testament to community. So our goal is we want our fans to feel valued. We want our fans to see that we're listening to them and that we're making incremental change, because while I can't control everything that happens on the court, what we can do is from a driveway to driveway approach. So when a fan is leaving their home, we want to make sure it's easy to buy tickets. We want to make sure that when they're greeted by the parking ushers, that when they come in, it's easy, and we have good quality food for them to buy. We have clean bathrooms, and we want our folks to treat our fans respectfully and like their guests in their home.
All right. Desiree Reed-Francois, the UNLV Athletic Director, joins us here at the Thomas and Mack Center at the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Let's talk a little bit about the basketball program. Your thoughts, we're 32 games into it here. Rebels get a victory today. Your thoughts on how the regular season went?
You know, it's a process, right? And I'm not the most patient person, but I know Coach Menzies and our team, we all have high expectations, and our community has high expectations. And one thing I know about UNLV and Runnin' Rebel basketball, and when I look around this community, is people want a reason to care about UNLV basketball. And we're going to work really hard, we're going to do it the right way, and we're going to give them that reason to care and that reason to believe. I also know that we've got to go earn some trust back with some fans, and it's almost like fan by fan. It's going to be incremental change. We can't just turn it back to 1991 or 1989, whatever. But we're going to turn it into 2018 Runnin' Rebels. And what does that look like? And let's do it the right way and make those small incremental changes. And then we're going to have some beauty is going to come from it. I was so fired up when I saw that Arizona crowd. And you could feel that energy. I mean, it was amazing, right? It was
right.
Like lights out. I was like, this is so special.
Right.
I hadn't been in that special of a basketball environment for a while. And Tech was awesome. Tennessee, we averaged about 18,155. And, you know, I was there when we built Tennessee basketball. Not built it, but, you know, when we – during the Bruce Pearl and Konzo Martin era. And same thing. It's grassroots. It's really building a fan base person by person.
Your thoughts when you hear about the discussions of the Mountain West Conference entertaining possibly Gonzaga and even BYU coming back. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I think we always want to look at – we always want to be mindful of the landscape in college athletics. And – we always want to look at partners that make strategic sense. And when I say that, I mean it's got to make financial sense. It's got to make sense from a fan's perspective, from a student-athlete perspective, right? It doesn't make sense for us to go bring in UConn, right? Because my kids are going to have to fly across country.
Right.
And let's not tweet that out that Desiree said that we're bringing in UConn, all right? Y'all are going to get me in trouble. But it needs to make strategic sense from a marketing perspective. Also, as a potential, as we look at the next iteration of the TV contracts, it has to make sense from that perspective as well. So I know that our commissioner is working on, is working very hard to be mindful of the landscape. And so we're going to keep in communication with our commissioner and our presidents. And we have faith that he's going to keep charging ahead and being mindful of that landscape.
When you talk about it's a process, especially here with basketball, go into a little detail about that, aside from increasing the wins and everything. Tell us what you've liked, what you've seen so far, and what does the progression look like to you and your vision?
From a competitive standpoint,
yeah.
or global across the...
I guess both.
Okay. So I like from going from where we were last year to getting 20 wins. I see sparks of energy and some bright spots. I also see that we have some kids, some young men that haven't played together for a long time. And so I like that we're going to build it with... I like our freshman class coming in. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch. Seeing Noon, and we get Shakur back too, right? And he's really fun, isn't he?
He's great. I mean, the energy that he brings to the floor and the passion he plays with, the physicalness. Yeah,
right?
Love watching him.
Who do you compare him to?
He's probably a younger version of a Charles Barkley type.
You know
what I'm saying? He doesn't have that Barkley body, but he's physical underneath like that.
Right.
And that's what I kind of compare him to just off the top of my head, you know?
Yeah, and you know what I love about him? And what I like about, and this starts from Marvin too, I love the humility. I'm attracted to humility. I don't really like a bunch of bragging. And if you have, I like the preparation that I see Shakur doing, and I like the preparation this team is doing, and they're working hard. I like someone with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and you know what? We've got that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep pushing it. We're going to keep getting some folks that score, play some good defense. And that freshman class, I think there's a reason for folks to be encouraged. We're going to add a couple of different elements to it once we get through the season. And there's a lot to be positive and hopeful about with UNLV basketball.
So what do you call the school up north, as you heard my producer back in the studio say, Reno, UNR, Nevada, as they like to be called?
Well, there actually is a policy, and I actually went through, this is how nerdy I am, I actually went and pulled the policy from the Nevada State Higher Education Board, and there is a policy, and so I don't have to call them the University of Nevada. They are the University of Nevada, Reno. So on our scoreboard, they will be UNR, they will be the Pack, they will be the Wolf Pack, they will be the University of Nevada, Reno, or UNR, but they will not be the University of Nevada when it is our game.
See, I like her. I like her a lot, TC.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone use comma before. I like that.
Well, she is
University
educated.
University of Nevada, Reno. Exactly. This
no,
is
you
true.
Can just say she's totally nerdy. But you know, I wanted to know, what are we supposed to call them?
Exactly.
And so what do I have to call them? So the last time I checked, we didn't give them the entire state. But, you know.
So when you go into these AD meetings with the conference and everything, you're going to say, how you doing? Let's talk a little bit about University of Nevada, Reno, huh?
Doug Newt and I are very good friends, and we've been friends for a decade. And I refer to him as the University of Nevada, Reno athletic director. And, that's the way it's going to go.
Okay. You came from a couple football power schools.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So obviously people want to see this football program rise up.
Yep.
And under Tony Sanchez, they have improved. And, of course, with the Raiders coming in the stadium, obviously a very, very exciting time. Give us your thoughts about the UNLV football program led under Tony Sanchez, and with the money that has come in here with the Fertitta complex and everything else, it's got to be a very wonderful thing.
We have all of the tools that we need to be successful, and there's no reason why we can't be bowl eligible. We've got a $28 million football complex coming online. It is going to be special. It is Power 5 quality. And we're very thankful for the Fertitta's belief and investment. The $2 billion Raiders Stadium is going to be special. You add that and you think about where we are geographically, right? We're right next to some of the world's best football talent. Even in our own backyard and within our state, we've got great football talent here. So we're well-resourced as it relates to being within our conference. So I think the future is also very bright for UNLV football, and we've got the resources, and we're going to make it happen.
In a big picture scenario, would you see UNLV, and is this something you would like to pursue, possibly being a Pac-12 school or a Pac-13 school?
You know what? Right now, we need to win the conference we're in.
Right.
And if you do things the right way and you build a program where you're graduating leaders, you're winning championships, and you're excelling in all that we do, well, you know what? That positions us for future success. And we always will be mindful of the national landscape, but right now we're going to win the conference that we're in, and we're going to build so that we're consistently doing that. And we still have some room to grow. But that's what the expectation is. And if you do that, you're going to have options.
Right. Baseball and softball underway
How
right now.
Exciting
and they're
is
both
that?
Doing great.
I know, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And I know you made a change in the softball coach, and they're off to a great start. And then baseball, too, as well, too.
Yeah,
so
Christian.
And let's don't forget about these sports, because a lot of people think football, basketball, but you go to a Rebel baseball and softball game. Those are fun.
Well, and you know what else? This week, we've got one of the best college tournaments going on in our own backyard in Southern Highlands, and with our men's golf program. I think they're number 33 in the country right now, and I'm sure they're going to keep climbing. But, gosh, the field that they're playing against is so – it's one of the best in the country at Southern Highlands, and we're really excited about that. Our women's golf team is doing well. Our tennis team just won this afternoon. And baseball and softball. Gosh, baseball's number 23 in the nation. They lost yesterday. But I think we're 10-2 overall, right, Andy? And women's softball is having one of the best starts that we've had since 2007. I'm really excited about Christy Fox. We just hired a women's volleyball coach in Dawn Sullivan, and she came from Iowa State. She was considered the nation's top assistant. And candidly, I tried to hire her when I was at Virginia Tech, and I couldn't move her then, but I was able to move her here to UNLV. So we're getting some really good people, and just like recruiting, right? Blue chippers are attracted to blue chippers, and people are having faith in UNLV.
Excellent. Desiree Reed Francois, before we let you go, we know you're a UCLA alumnus. You're going to make your way down the street for a little Pac-12 action?
Nah, the only basketball I really want to watch is UNLV Rebel
okay.
basketball.
So, all right.
Nah, I appreciate it. I don't even know how they're doing this year. Do you know?
Well, we have Tracy Murray's a good friend. He comes on the program. He does the radio broadcast, a former Bruin.
And his dad works with us. You know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I talked to Tracy this morning. I talked to him all the time. So anyway, he said, you know, he goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know if we're going to get by Stanford. They got the number 4 seed in this tournament. He goes, we better beat Stanford. If we're not, he goes, man, I'm going home early. But
we went to
college together. They're struggling. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know, small world.
That is awesome. And you are a rower too.
Yeah.
Can I touch your guns?
They're not very.
Look
good.
At this. Yeah. Former rower. Look at this. Brad the Believer. Man.
Isn't Mark Anderson's time now?
She's downplaying it. Totally, TC.
She's downplaying it.
You know, I was a rower because I really wanted to run track at UCLA, but then they realized I had absolutely no talent whatsoever. I know, I mean, they really told me that. They're like, you have absolutely no talent. I was like, but I was good in high school. They're like, no, but you're not good anymore. And I was like, oh, gosh. They're all, but you're 6 feet tall, and do you like to wake up early and, you know, row? And I was like in a boat? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, sure. That's awesome.
Why not be on the water, right?
So that was my incredibly impressive recruiting story.
Look at that. Outstanding. Yeah. Well, a pleasure visiting with you. Hopefully we get a chance to do it more.
Thank you.
And appreciate you taking the time, and go Rebels.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Right. There it is.
See y'all.
Reed Francois joined us here at the Thomas and Mack Center. We come back. Mark Anderson from the RJ will join us as we talk some hoop. Coming up next on the TC Martin Show on Fox. Live from the Thomas and Mack Center on the concourse in front of the formerly known Jack Daniels Bar, which I'm now told is the Jim Beam Bar. We are here for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Glad to have you here. If you're out and about coming into the building, stop by. We'll be here till 4 o'clock today. Mountain West Conference going on. Pac-12 right down the street. The WCC just concluded last night with that great victory, Gonzaga over BYU. And join us now, Mark Anderson, who covers the Rebels from the basketball side, the football side, and just a general all-around sports fan. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, TC. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the time to join us. So were you kind of sweating a little bit earlier today when we watched UNLV and that overtime victory against Air Force, 97-90?
Probably not as much as they were sweating.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, they did keep their cool. You know, we were just talking about it a minute ago that, you know, a team with a 5-game losing streak, you know, things are starting to go south on them again. You kind of wonder how are they going to respond? And they responded really well. You know, they had the lead. They never lost. They never trailed until overtime.
Right.
And then they were down 3, and it looked like they were going to go down 5. And then Shakur McJustin and Brandon McCoy had back-to-back block shots, great block shots, get a 3 the other end, lose the lead again, get a 3-point play from Shakur, and then that starts a 12-point run. So that told me a lot about their mental toughness today.
How they answered. They answered big time. And again, they jump out to a pretty early lead. Then they built the lead up to 11 points in the second half, but Air Force was game. And like you said, that instance right there in the overtime with about 2.5 minutes left, I believe it was, when Air Force was up three with the ball and had a 2-on-1. And like you said, Shakir Justin comes down court, hustles down, blocks a shot, a layup attempt. Air Force gets the rebound, and then Brandon McCoy comes flying in, gets the second block. And at that point in time, I think that's when the message was sent for UNLV that they were going to take care of business. Like you said, Air Force came back a little bit there. But at that point in time, if Air Force converts that layup and it's a five-point game with 2.5 minutes to go,
it's a different game.
It's a totally different game, and not sure it ends up the way it ended up.
Right. I mean, UNLV can still find a way. But at that point, then Air Force has the advantage because then you figure at some point UNLV may have to start fouling.
Right.
And, and I think that Air Force felt like once they got the lead that they had all the momentum. And I think that kind of got their attention that UNLV wasn't done with them.
Air Force, 13 for 27 from beyond the arc today. Yeah. That's literally kept them in the game today. And they got hot, especially for that run during the early and mid part of the second half. But it's a game team, and I really think that their coach, Filipovich, does a fantastic job. He just doesn't have a whole bunch to work with. But just from an X's and O's standpoint and what they run and everything, they're a pretty fun team to watch. And UNLV got there today because of their athleticism and their size. And like you pointed out, what Shakir Justin and Brandon McCoy did down low, and that was good to finally see that. We haven't seen those two guys, you know, with a lot of production during that five-game losing streak.
Well, not only that, Air Force, even though Air Force had lost both the previous meetings, they did a great job against those two players. They held them to behind 25 points in the first two meetings. And I remember the game at Air Force where UNLV's guards had to go out and win the game because they couldn't get the ball down low at all. And they wound up doing that. They wound up winning the game. Today, you know, they're from 25 combined points in the two games to 44 today. You know, they were more active today. The guards, especially Jordan Johnson, had 12 assists, really did a great job of making sure they got the ball. And, you know, and so it's they made it more difficult on Air Force to keep those guys from doing anything. And that was, to me, that was the difference in the game.
It was a 12 noon start today, or rather 11 a.m. start today, 12 noon tomorrow. I'm getting ahead of myself. And UNLV defeats Air Force 97-90 in overtime. Brandon McCoy, 23 points, 12 rebounds. Shakir Justin, 21 points. Jovan Mooring, 17 points, hit some big shots during the course of this game. But like you mentioned, Jordan Johnson, a guy with 12 assists today, he played 41 minutes, and really kind of seems like how Jordan Johnson goes, UNLV goes.
Yeah, he's been so big down the stretch. Even when the team as a whole has struggled, he has generally been fairly consistent. And, you know, I think that's also been part of the problem in a way, in that he's almost tried to do too much at times. You know, he drives in and you know, he's got the bigs in front of him and he gets in trouble. Today, he managed to drive, but he didn't get himself in trouble where he was trapped and didn't have many options. And so he didn't seem to be his driving as deep to the basket today as he had been. And I think that kept his options open where he's able to strip the ball better. So, you know, they clearly made some adjustments after the regular season, and it paid off today. And obviously tomorrow is a whole different animal. But for today at least, that those adjustments paid off.
Marvin Menzies' bench has shrunk over the last couple weeks. Today, basically six guys saw the majority of the minutes. Only Hardy had 9 minutes and DeJong had 8 minutes. Your thoughts about this, and when you have to come back and play the number one seed within 24 hours and a team that you just got drilled, you know, 38 points just about a week and a half or so ago.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also, you see teams do that this time of year because every game is so urgent. I mean, because if you don't win, I mean, if you're not playing your best players heavy minutes and you don't win, then what's the point?
Right.
So, I mean, you worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. And, you know, and they're fortunate in that they're facing a Reno team that's shorthanded right now. You know, they're down to seven scholarship players, and one of them, Jordan Caroline, has got a broken hand or something. Still had a great game recently against San Diego State. But, you know, they're not 100%. And, that you know, if you can maybe get in a situation with those guys where they're having to extend themselves a little bit, then, you know, maybe the what happened today won't be so tough. But, you know, I just think it's that time of year, and guys know they have to go for heavier minutes.
UNLV wins today, so therefore they get the number one seed in Reno tomorrow. Tip off another early one at 12 noon tomorrow. Mark, what do you expect to see in tomorrow's game? Do you think today's victory is going to propel UNLV? And as we see, you know, we've heard Marvin Menzies talk about this. Hey, you know, let's just look at the postseason, okay? Forget about what happened in the past. You know, this is a new time right now. Now, they won today, but they were expected to win today. They were a 10-point favorite, and they had to go overtime to beat an Air Force team. How do you think tomorrow unfolds?
Well, they need to play. They played with more efficiency today than they've been playing, and they need to continue to do that. I thought it was really interesting. Javon Mooring missed a couple early threes and then stepped inside the arc and actually knocked down a couple shots from closer in. You know, so that was an encouraging sign that he wasn't just back there jacking. But looking for better shots, and so if that maybe that gets them going. But tomorrow, having scored 17 points today, you know, they got the bigs have to come through again. If they put up 44 points again tomorrow, they got every chance to win that game. But it's going to be tough. The line came out a few minutes ago. It surprised me that, you know, he's only a 5-point favorite or underdog. I mean, I thought it'd be a little bit higher than that, especially given the last time they met. If UNLV plays tomorrow like it did today, they could be right around that 5-6 point range. And if you are, you know, a couple bounces go your way, you win the game.
There's a lot to be said for momentum too, because there is a little bit of a trend with a lot of these top teams in these conference tournaments where they're well rested and then they come in a little bit lackadaisical or lethargic or slow, maybe that's a better word, and they don't get off to these great starts. We saw that in the WCC tournament where Gonzaga and St. Mary's had very, very slow starts, and St. Mary's actually had two bad games. And, you know, they're thinking, well, we're probably going to be in the tournament anyway. We'll have to wait and see if that happens. But I'm thinking that, and even we saw yesterday with Notre Dame in the ACC, I mean, they were like a 16.5-point favorite against Pitt. They hung on for dear life to win that game. We see that a lot in college basketball at these conference tournaments where the top seeds tend to take a day or two to get going. I'm just wondering if that could be the case tomorrow, or do you just throw that out because it is UNLV versus UNR?
I would probably subscribe to that theory a little bit more if UNLV wasn't coming off if UNR wasn't coming off a loss.
Right.
If they had won at San Diego State, I would think that maybe it sets up better for the Rebels tomorrow, especially since UNR smoked them here. Maybe they're a little full of themselves, and that still could be the case. Another thing that could play into UNLV's favor is, you know, how many threes did UNR hit in the last meeting? It seemed like they knocked down every shot.
Yeah.
Are they going to do that again? Probably not at that same rate, you know. So you have to figure that if that has to give UNLV fans a little bit of hope that you can't expect them to be as hot as they were the last time. And if they are, well, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. They're just on. So, but I think they'll cool off a little bit compared to last time. So I don't expect the boat race that we saw last time. But, you know, if you tell me that right now the Wolfpack's going by 20, I wouldn't bat an eye at that either. So.
Right. Well, obviously the odds makers think it's going to be a close game. Only 5 points for UNR is favored by tomorrow in that game, 12 noon here at the Thomas and Mack Center. Make sure you come on out here, support the Rebels against their hated rival. Let's look at the rest of the schedule here. 4 o'clock today, San Jose State, the 11th seed, takes on number 6, Wyoming. And then tomorrow, like we said, the game at 12 noon, UNR and UNLV. San Diego State plays Fresno State at 2:30. Pretty interesting game between the 4 and 5 seeds. I don't know about you, Mark, but I want to get my opinion is that the winner of that game, Fresno State or San Diego State, could actually win this whole thing.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the way San Diego State is playing out, there is no team hotter in the conference than San Diego State.
No, I completely agree with you, because you got to figure it's a shorthanded UNR team coming off a game the previous day against this big rival. Like I said, very well. Fresno State, I never count those guys out this time of year.
Right.
You know, after they've shown what they've done in the past. So I agree. I'm not necessarily expecting the winner of that game to go all the way, but I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
Boise State plays at 6 o'clock tomorrow. New Mexico, the number 3 seed, plays at 8:30 tomorrow. How strange does that sound that New Mexico is the number 3 seed in this tournament? And it was just, 3 weeks ago where UNLV was the 3 seed and New Mexico was like a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And how this thing just flips. And what a job that New Mexico has done this year.
Yeah, in fact, I thought I thought they were going to come down to earth at some point. Yeah. They got off to the big start in the conference play, and I thought, well, they're kind of playing ahead, over their heads. I mean, like the game they played here, you know, is, you know, they basically stole that game from UNLV. UNLV seemed to be in control, and New Mexico stole the game at the end. I figured they were kind of, all right, things are going to even out. They're going to play to the talent level. But what Paul Weir's done, he's gotten that team to play hard, 40 minutes every game. I mean, I don't know if there's a harder playing team in the conference. Yeah. And you play hard like that, good things are going to happen. And what's real interesting the way he handles his team is they don't have a set starting lineup. He bases their starting lineup on how the previous game went. And it's I don't remember what the formula is. It has something to do with deflections and defense and some. So it's not like points scored. I think this is on defense and hustle and all that. And he's got a real formula. It's like the top five players, you're starting the next game. What motivation is that? I mean, if you want to be in the starting lineup, you got to go out and bust your butt. And they clearly bought into a system.
Mark Anderson joined us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers the Rebels. How do you think this tournament unfolds?
I just think it seems like UNR just has so many issues right now with injuries and just being shorthanded. I think trying to win three games in 3 days is going to catch up to them. I can see them making the championship game, but I just get the feeling that someone else is going to win, maybe a Boise State or someone like that. And I think Boise has actually a little bit more motivation right now because Boise, I think, has to win this tournament to get in, whereas Reno, if they make the semis or the finals, I think they're in the NCAAs regardless. So I think psychologically, Boise's going to have a little bit of an edge in that regard.
You can really make the argument for any of the top five teams to actually win this tournament. And I would throw out New Mexico, but they are playing so good right now, and they got a number three seed, so that's going to help them. But Nevada, San Diego State, Fresno State, Boise, New Mexico, wouldn't surprise me if any one of those teams won. It wouldn't be a shock to me.
Well, and this is part of the nature of this tournament. You seem to get different winners every year. So, you know, I mean, you could look at number seasons in the past. Like, well, I didn't see that team, you know, was it 2-3 years ago, Fresno State, you know, kind of blew through everyone. Last year was one of the rare years that seemed to play to form. So, my money would be on Boise at this point. But, yeah, like you said, if you told me where the other teams winds up winning it, I might be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Exactly. All right. Real quick, before we let you go, you know, we had Desiree Reed-Francois on. I know you heard a little bit of the interview. Your thoughts about her and her first 8 months on the job and her vision?
Well, it's been challenging for her, right? I mean, she came in and, you know, last year they had a deficit, and obviously the university took care of that for her. But it's still, you know, she's still having to go out and raise a lot of money in a trying time where both football and basketball are not at the standards that people wanted them to be. And obviously that hurts in attendance. And when two major revenue producing sports aren't drawing, then that's hurting your bottom line. So it's a tough year for her. Football, you can see maybe next season that they can work their way into a bowl game. They should have been there this last season. So maybe that will create more interest. The basketball team, you know, we'll have to see how the league shakes out next season, and how the rest of recruiting goes. But, you know, if basketball can start getting it together again, like they showed some promise early in the season, then that will certainly draw the fans back. But it's hard, you know. It's not a problem of her doing, but it's something she's having to deal with. It's something she's having to negotiate through. And you know, and it's, you know, she's at non-power fives. You're not getting that big TV money, so she's having to be very creative, and she said other issues too that, the Eric Tauber situation, which no one wants to deal with, but you know, that faced her, and it, from everything I gathered, she handled it pretty swiftly, so that was a pretty good mark on her, you know, on her side. So. She's made a couple hires, you know, minor sports hires that seem to be working out well. The baseball team's off to a big start. So there are a lot of positives, too. So, you know, it's just people look at the two main sports, and, you know, ADs tend to be judged by those.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. That's just her first year, as you mentioned. So we'll see how they do. If both sports get going, then it'll look good for her.
All right. Mark, always a pleasure visiting with you. You can check out Mark's stuff online. And, of course, if you're old school, you still get that paper delivered. There
absolutely.
It is.
Please, we encourage that as well.
Absolutely correct. All right. he covers the Rebels. You could read his article. Probably it's already up online, right? Or
the first
close
version,
to it, right?
The first version is, and I just sent the second version before I came up here. So.
There you go. That's how it is. Then you could read it tomorrow morning in the paper. There you go. All right, Mark, we look forward to seeing you during the course of the weekend.
Thanks for having me on, TC.
You got it. Mark Anderson from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more Mountain West and talk to you what's happening down the street at the Pac-12 tournament. TC Martin Show right here on Fox.
Check this out.
Live from the Thomas and Mack Center on the concourse in front of the Jim Beam Bar, TC Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Yes. Rebels get a victory today, 97-90 in the janitor game, which I like to say because, you know, not too many people were here for that game, but it's filling up now. Utah State a victor today against Colorado State. Wyoming taking on San Jose State a little bit later on. Pac-12 going down the street. So we invite everyone to come out here to the Thomas and Mack Center or out to T-Mobile Arena. Some great college basketball here in town. Of course, March Madness underway. Time for you to get the CG Technology mobile app, too, over at any of the great CG Technology properties at the Palms, the M Resort, the Silverton, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Get the CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy. All right, Chris Chapman back in the studio. Brad the Believer, my right-hand man. It's always good to work with you, my friend. And let's talk a little basketball. Pac-12, you pretty excited?
I'm pretty excited, TC. Right down the street here at T-Mobile. Yep. You know, we're just in full effect. March Madness is rolling in, and it's great to be with the doctor here on the concourse with Thomas and Matt.
All right. Earlier today, you got some results for me from the Pac-12?
Well, I do know that currently Stanford is leading Cal by double digits, and I heard Arizona State was in trouble earlier today.
I know. That was the 8-9 game, Arizona State against Colorado. And, Magnum, you could chime in with a final score on that one. You probably said it during your update, but we're sitting here talking to so many fans. But you got to keep that barrel guy away from me from Wyoming.
TC, there's so many Wyoming fans here. They travel well.
If I'm Miami?
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Oh, okay.
Wyoming fans. If I'm a recruit, I'm taking notice of this. I mean, these fans are passionate, and they come out in full force to support their Cowboys.
No, they are known for coming out here in – even for football.
Every year.
Football, too. Their portion is filled up on Sam Boyd Stadium behind that sideline. But, yeah, and Wyoming has not been that strong of a basketball program in the last few years. But you're right. They travel very, very well. I was actually kind of surprised. There was a decent amount of Air Force fans here today, too, for a team that's seated that low.
But it seemed like there was plenty of fans of all the Mountain West schools except right. UNLV.
All right. So Pac-12, later on tonight, you've got Oregon State is taking on Washington, the 7-10 game at 6 o'clock. Washington State taking on the Oregon Ducks, the 6-11 matchup there at 8:30. Pac-12 a little bit down this year. Of course, the controversy with Sean Miller and Arizona. Still looks like Arizona is the team to beat. USC, the number 2 seed, that surprises a lot of people. Andy Enfield's done a nice job.
Yeah, coming over from Florida Gulf Coast, he's got them playing good ball. And hopefully they can stay away from a lot of these allegations that will be coming down full force. I don't know if they'll be able to dodge it, TC.
Yeah.
But I think UCLA may be able to make some noise in this Pac-12 tournament. I like some of the veteran mix they have with Holiday and Leaf. And we'll see if the coach is slipping my mind.
Steve Alford?
Steve Alford.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Lavin, but that's the old UCLA coach. But I think UCLA can make some noise in this tournament. But like you said, Arizona, the front runner, DeAndre Ayton is just a man among boys.
He is.
And he goes as that team goes.
You know, we talked about New Mexico being a surprising third seed in the Mountain West. Utah is that surprising 3 seed in the Pac-12. They got a bye. So you look at the top 4 seeds, it's Arizona, USC, Utah, and then UCLA.
Well, the other Coach K, Coach Krestowiak for Utah. They've had some good wins this season and have played pretty good ball down the stretch. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like you said, the Pac-12 a little bit down this year, but there's some teams that can make some noise. I did have that final from earlier. Colorado did beat Arizona State 97-86.
Wow. So Bobby Hurley out.
Out. And that could mean out for their NCAA title or postseason hopes
right.
as well.
Right, exactly.
Because they had a great non-conference record, but being out this early in the Pac-12 tournament, I think they're done.
Wow. All right, we'll see what happens. So that action at the T-Mobile Arena, Pac-12 underway right now, as well as the Mountain West Conference Championship game on Saturday. It'll be an afternoon final here. Thomas and Mack, then 7 p.m. on Saturday night at T-Mobile. So we'll be going back and forth, loving all of it. I want to thank Desiree Reed-Francois, the UNLV Athletic Director, for joining us here today, giving us the kind of state of the union of UNLV sports and talking about the basketball program and her first 8 months on the job. Mark Anderson from the Review Journal, appreciate him stopping by as well, talking about his thoughts and the Rebels as they get the 97-90 overtime victory over Air Force today. Congratulations, UNLV. You get UNR tomorrow, the number one seed.
Yeah, they're going to have to do better than letting 13 threes go from Air Force, almost 50% from beyond the arc. They're going to have to contest shots better tomorrow against UNR if they want a chance to
win. All right, tomorrow on the program, providing that Washington wins, Dave Rice, the former UNLV head coach, will join us on the program. Larry Kostoriak, the man who you mentioned too, the head coach of Utah, scheduled to join us as well. So looking forward to all that. For Chris Chapman back in the studio, Brad the Believer here at the Thomas and Mack. Come on out. Enjoy the action here at the Thomas and Mack Center tonight for Mountain West Conference action or at T-Mobile for the Pac-12. TC Martin, so long and miss any part of today's show, the past interviews, go to the website, tcmartinshow.com.